AMIMEC is scheduled to take place on the 16th of November. We did say that once MINMEC has considered the regulations based on the agreements we've reached with SALGA, we will then bring a full set of the regulations to the committee to also give the committee the opportunity to see whether comments that have been made in respect of the other provisions of the draft regulations have in fact been taken into account. I hope that at the conclusion of that process, we will have a set of regulations which can now be published about public comments by the minister. At this point, I wouldn't be aware of other pieces of legislation that the committee may have been promised would be coming its way. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Chairman, could you give the time of the legislation in those states so that maybe I can spell them out? But in the meantime, still waiting for that, I'll ask you so that we start with the first item, the LDG. Then after that, we'll come to Congress and then.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, we prepared a presentation to brief the committee.
I think we will go back to the item, because it's the second item in the agenda, on the legislature then.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We prepared a presentation on progress report on the Millennium Development Goals 2015. This presentation, Madam Chair, focuses on specifically two areas of intervention. The one relating to access to basic services, as well as interventions in the area of the Community Works Program. These two interventions specifically contribute towards the achievement of Millennium Goal number one, which focuses on the eradication of poverty. Madam Chair, Mr. Hansby, who is directly involved with one of the areas of intervention, is going to lead our presentation.
Thank you very much, TG. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. It's good to be back in Cape Town with the Portfolio Committee. Chair, just by way of background, I think it's important that we just rehash some trends with regards to the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals with 2015 as the target date. Chair, if I may just proceed to the third slide and turn your attention to the first bullet. You know, just as a reminder again to all of us that how this evolved in the year 2000 when the international community came together and signed this particular declaration. It was against a backdrop where not only in South Africa but in the developing world there were certain challenges that we were facing globally. But I think it's important to just highlight, you know, poverty levels have increased. While there has been significant growth in the world economy, at that particular point in time, it was realized that income inequality, poverty, environmental challenges, challenges with regards to education, healthcare, and a number of other issues became more striking during that period. And I think the global community decided it was high time to collectively come together and express themselves and set targets. The problem is that, you know, if we work blindly without any targets, then we wouldn't know what we are performing against. And in the South African context, it became very important for us to start adapting those particular targets to our local conditions. Otherwise, it just becomes a theoretical exercise. And I think in the wisdom of government, it decided that we needed to start recognizing that unemployment is one of those very tough challenges that doesn't want to go away. And there is still a great deal of work that we need to do in terms of dealing with unemployment and extreme poverty in the country. Related to that is obviously the issue of ensuring that there is education. Chairperson, there are other initiatives by government. We've seen in the National Development Plan that education is a priority. Any nation that wants to ensure that it starts dealing with the issue of unemployment and poverty puts education at the forefront. From a financial and fiscal point of view, that has taken place. But I think, you know, it just in terms broadly of setting the agenda in terms of education, the challenge itself is huge, and there are certain interventions with regards to quality of education that is required. We cannot be oblivious to other sectors that have an impact on the type of work that we do at community level, because ours is a responsibility that not only relates to the country as a whole, but it actually touches the lives of communities. Chair, with that particular backdrop, just to indicate that in everything we do, we try to align our work as a department to the objectives of the Millennium Development Goals. Those goals, Chair, just to rehash again, is to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, to achieve universal primary education, which I've touched on briefly, to promote gender equality and the empowerment of women, to reduce child mortality, to improve maternal health, to combat HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, to ensure environmental sustainability, to develop a global partnership for development. Chairperson, I've spoken about the fact that we're trying to align our work with the MDGs. As you can see, the pie chart is just a demonstration of how this is aligned specifically. The other areas of work that we do, which has an impact on the Millennium Development Goals, is the delivery agreement on Outcome 9, which the committee surely is familiar with, which speaks to an effective, efficient system of local government, including provincial government, and our work in terms of coordinating the efforts of other government departments. There is broadly as well the 12 government outcomes, Chairperson, which also basically articulates with the Millennium Development Goals, the 10 government priorities, as well as the 5 medium-term strategic framework development objectives. Chairperson, if you allow me just to proceed to the next slide, just to be more specific. Out of the 8 Millennium Development Goals, we recognize that one is the most important for the work that we do as a department, and that relates to the eradication of extreme poverty and hunger, as indicated by the Director General. Chair, this approach combines cash transfers with social wage packages, including the provision of subsidized housing, electricity, water, sanitation, refuse removal, and transportation. More specifically, Chairperson, it should be seen in a context where our department plays a role with regards to sustaining municipalities when it comes to the type of transfers, fiscal transfers that we do. But it also relates to our direct involvement through programs such as the Municipal Infrastructure Grant in supporting basic services. That is why we're saying, Chairperson, in terms of our strategic goals as a department, number 2, in terms of the delivery agreement, we talk to specifically improve access to basic services. And as I've indicated, those include electricity, water, sanitation, refuse removal, and specifically when it comes to transportation, the issue of municipal roads. Secondly, Chairperson, there is a flagship program which is called the Community Work Program, which I'll elaborate on a bit more. And the committee has had the privilege of receiving information and briefings with regards to this. But specifically to aligning to the MDGs, there is an underlying goal of the Community Work Program, and that speaks both to poverty and unemployment. and we can go into a bit more detail with regards to that. But Chairperson, I also want to indicate that it is not only these areas of work that specifically speak to the Millennium Development Goals. We are also busy with local economic development. I remember when Minister Baloyi just started, the committee actually raised a number of issues around local economic development. Because simply the Constitution, I think it's section 152 and 153, that enjoins local government to develop their local economies. At the same time, local government is also expected to participate in provincial and national development programs. So Chairperson, it is clear there are other areas which also relate to the type of work that we are doing with regards to the Millennium Development Goals. Chair, at the same time, we should note that as a coordinating department, much of our of the impact of the work of government that we coordinate comes from other sector departments. For instance, the Department of Water Affairs, there's the Department of Human Settlements, the Department of Rural Development, and many others that play a role. Ours is a role of coordinating the inputs of all those departments and ensuring that there is integration in terms of the integrated development plans at local level to ensure that all of these have an impact in an integrated way at, in the lives of communities. So specifically to deal with the issue of progress as required by the committee, if you look at the left-hand column, it says priority, and again that priority in this case is improved access to basic services. In terms of the 2009 levels, we had in the case of access to water, 92% of households with access to water. In terms of the 2014 target, we are talking about 100% access. The latest available measurement, Chairperson, is 94.7% of households with access to water. And we indicate there, you know, in terms of the explanation why this becomes difficult to achieve, Chairperson, that municipalities have started to increasingly invest in bulk infrastructure to upgrade or rehabilitate the existing infrastructure. Chairperson, that is only at bulk level. You know, they, you know, so municipalities have to make very difficult choices with regards to where they invest in infrastructure. And increasingly, we are, as government, we are starting to talk about integrating the infrastructure value chain. For example, around water. You cannot plan a dam and the community next to the dam doesn't have access to water. There are cases, for example, in Wembe where that is taking place. We need to ensure that in terms of our planning, there is integrated planning throughout the whole value chain of a particular sector such as water. And we've seen that the move now is towards bulk at the expense of, for example, reticulation infrastructure. That is not the only challenge here. The other challenge is that these figures generally relate to formal households. It does not include informal settlements that have not been declared. And that is part of the problem. At the same time, Chair, coincidentally today, my understanding is that they're releasing the census figures. These figures are based on the old census figures. So it doesn't take into account population growth. And that is part of the challenges with regards to, I think, not only water, but all of the services we are talking about here. So at some point, we'll need to revise our figures to keep track of population growth and other influences. Chairperson, in terms of sanitation, in 2009, we had 64% of households with access to sanitation. The latest available measurement is 84%. As with water, we see the very same challenge. At the same time, Chair, it is something that I'll come to back to later in the presentation, is the issue of functionality of that infrastructure. If we report on these figures without just explaining, it looks very good to say that 84% of our people have access to sanitation. But the fact is, not all of that infrastructure is functional. It just means it's within reach. And we have to be honest, you know, and say upfront that this level of access does not though we must acknowledge in certain instances the infrastructure is indeed very functional. Chairperson, with regards to refuse removal, 2009 we had 64%. It is one of the few targets where we actually have it 75%, not the 100% as a target, but we are at 72% levels, and we are saying this is achievable. On this particular one, Chair, the fact that it's achievable, again, does not reflect on the challenges we're sitting with in this particular sector. If we look at refuse removal sites, it is generally a problem. And the fact that within the value chain there is a breakdown somewhere, yes, refuse may be collected at household level. But what do we do with that particular refuse? Because we have a big challenge with regards to the proclamation and the licensing of waste management sites at municipal level. And also the environmental impact assessments that is required in order to declare one is also putting delays into the process. Chairperson, with regards to access to electricity, we are talking in 2009 of about 81% access levels. The target there was for 92%, and the latest available measurement from the Department of Energy is 85%. Chairperson, the energy grant, there is a shortfall with regards to that. And I think the process with regards to with regards to NERSA and the other item the committee was supposed to discuss this morning around energy, relates to this specific issue. The shortfall, overall shortfall, in terms of ensuring that we take electricity infrastructure forward in the country. Chairperson, if we can then turn to the upgrading of households, the priority was set at 400,000 households in informal settlements. In 2009, 1.2 million households in 629 informal settlements were built against a target of 400,000. The latest available measurement is 114,000, or 28.5% of the target. The department, the information we're getting from the Department of Human Settlements, it's achievable, but on balance, I don't know if we look at the level of current achievement and where we're supposed to be, Chairperson, whether that is indeed the case. But maybe we should just flag that for now. Chairperson, going back to the creation of work opportunities, which we see as one of our key responsibilities, Chairperson, at 2009, we've just introduced the community work program. It was in its pilot phase with the presidency at that point in time and the Department of Social Development, of which our Director General was the former DG, at that point played a role with regards to the piloting of the community work program. It has since grown exponentially, Chairperson, not without challenges, but acknowledging its ability to upscale very rapidly. So the target broadly has been set for 2014-15 of 1 million work opportunities in the community work program. At current levels, this is tied specifically to our budgetary allocation. We are sitting at 94,977 work opportunities created to date. Chairperson, we are in the process of upscaling CWP. The MTF allocation to the department prior to the medium-term budget policy statement was to achieve 325,500 opportunities within the next 3 years over the MTF period. The Honourable Minister of Finance last week announced that CWP will get an additional allocation of 25% per annum over the MTF. We are still doing the number crunching, but that should allow us to take CWP beyond the current target of 325,500 opportunities over the MTF. So we feel very strongly that this is indeed achievable. We are putting the institutional
framework in place. We are putting systems in place. We are strengthening our capacity with regards to monitoring and evaluation. We are strengthening our financial systems to ensure that we indeed upscale this program, which coincidentally is part of government's response to the global economic downturn that was announced by the President, I think last week, Chairperson. Chairperson, this also relates to the number of municipalities implementing CWP. Within this period, Chairperson, of the MTF, every single municipality in the country will have a CWP site of no less than 1,000 participants. In fact, we could even talk about 2,000 participants per municipality. And that it may even be more. We may even say that one municipality may have more than one site because we've realigned CWP. Previously, CWP had could have three sites within one municipality. But for the sake of simplifying the program and ensuring that the logistical arrangements become simpler, we said that for now we will recognize one site per municipality and we will consolidate all the sites at municipal level. Chairperson, in terms of the ward committee system that we are setting up to enable communities to play a role in decision making, we are reporting, Chairperson, that in terms of the target of having all ward committees functional by 2014, 4,110 or 96% of ward committees have been established. Ward committee members, 89% of them have been inducted across all provinces. Chair, I know that in certain instances, these committees may not be fully functional, but we are just reporting on the establishment at this particular point in time. And the reason why, I'm indicating that specifically is that your level of interaction with communities and also what is happening at the local level is very high and very real. So it's important that we reflect on this before the committee starts asking the questions about, but in my, constituency, it's not functioning. So, Chair, I'm just preempting that question. Chair, some blockages with regards to service delivery. I know, Honorable Bajoba has been looking at me in the Chairperson, I think it's important just to reflect on some of the challenges that we are faced with. The pace is slow generally, but the big threat is functionality, particularly water and sanitation, as I've indicated. Chairperson, when it comes to the delivery of infrastructure at the municipal level, we all know that there are many challenges. You interact with communities and municipalities. You've been on site visits and oversight visits across the country, Chairperson. And in many cases, the state of the infrastructure is just deplorable. And we recognize this, and there are some urgent interventions that we need to put into place to ensure that municipalities, number one, spend appropriately when it comes to infrastructure, that they indeed use the allocation for municipal infrastructure for the intended purpose. A great deal we have found of the big money, for example, goes into operational expenditure, which really is not allowed. And those are things that we are starting to clamp down on. Chairperson, but the challenge we must acknowledge is huge. As a department, we are only starting to create our own systems and capacity now to start dealing with these challenges. Chairperson, almost 21% of the households with access to water infrastructure have a service that is not working. It reflects on that, which is significant, Chairperson. In other words, no water is running from the tap due to leakages, due to a number of other problems. 5.3% of households still do not have access to services at all, and that's the entire basket of services that we are talking about. 26% or 3.8 million households are affected by sanitation services and facilities that are not fully functional. Chairperson, the presidency has prioritized sanitation and it has commissioned a process into ensuring that we accelerate the delivery of sanitation. That includes where the sanitation
sanitation function is located at the moment. At the moment, it's with the Department of Human Settlements. The debate is part of the debate is to ensure that it finds its appropriate home, maybe even with the Department of Water Affairs, where it was previously located. Chairperson, 9% or 1.4 4 million households still do not have sanitation, as I've indicated. The result is the increase in service delivery projects in the period ending June 2012 exceeded the total in 2011. Chairperson, just to reflect on this point, not all of these service delivery projects, as the Minister has previously pronounced, relates to a frustration with actual service delivery. In some cases, these protests are simply political at grassroots, at community level. But I don't want to reflect on that. I'm not in that arena. I'm an official. But Jefferson, it's important to indicate from our analysis that many of these service delivery protests actually do not relate to the functionality or the lack of infrastructure. But Jefferson, I think it's important to also, as one of the challenges, look at the quantum of funding. South Africa requires more funding to deliver on municipal infrastructure. In the same way as we prioritize job creation, the issue around the delivery of municipal infrastructure needs to be prioritized from a funding point of view, but also from the point of view in terms of ensuring that as departments, we need to work close together and coordinate all the funding instruments available to us to have a more efficient impact at grassroots level. Chairperson, in terms of what needs to be done by 2014, as the department, we need to beef up our coordination efforts where we bring together national sector departments like the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, Water Affairs, Environmental Affairs, Human Settlements, Energy, to establish service delivery management structures per sector to address backlogs and functionality of basic services. In this regard, with regard to this chairperson and honourable members, we have established the Human Settlements and Basic Services Task Team, which is functional. At the moment, it is being led by the Director General. Many of these issues from there is escalated to the level of MINMEC and also other intergovernmental structures. So we've actually decided to integrate much of the work, Chair, with the sector departments, and there is an initiative underway now with other sector departments, also in the light of the Marikana tragedy, but also the wildcat strikes in mining areas specifically. There is an initiative to prioritize some of the areas where we see potential for that type of fallout, and specifically the type of work that we are doing as a department relates to integrated human settlements. Chairperson, we also need to use the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent as a vehicle to accelerate infrastructure improvements, which will result in improved delivery of services. Already, Chairperson, MISA is active in some municipalities with the deployment of engineers, town planners, engineering technicians, and other experts to beef up the capacity of municipalities. We all know about the challenge to attract engineering skills and hence to ensure appropriate and proper planning of infrastructure at municipal level. And MISA, Chairperson, is one of our responses. We also don't want to create too much expectations with municipalities that MISA will resolve all of their capacity problems and the planning problems. But I think it's an important step to ensure where municipalities, especially the weak and vulnerable municipalities, where they have challenges with capacity, that MISA can step in and that it can ensure that it helps them with the planning of infrastructure, but also the delivery thereof. Chairperson, our focus on the most struggling municipalities identified by Cabinet is intended to yield some noticeable progress. We have reviewed and we've done diagnostics through MISA of some of those municipalities. Chairperson, the challenges are not only with regards to capacity infrastructure, but we found systems failures in a number of other areas. With regards to supply chain management and procurement, for example, the processes have been slow in some municipalities, therefore certain projects could not kick off. Certain critical projects to deliver on basic services. So that is just one example where the diagnostics is showing that it's not only a question of capacity, but it's also a question of other systems. It could also be a question, Chairperson, of governance challenges at municipal level, where the governance arrangements within a municipality is not appropriate, or the public participation is weak, and that could also delay the implementation of infrastructure projects. Or, Chairperson, it could even lead to inappropriate decisions with regards to which projects to prioritize. And therefore, we are saying that the diagnostics is important to reflect on where municipalities are and specifically what the challenges are within specific vulnerable and weak municipalities. Chairperson, we remain optimistic that there will be improved access to basic levels of service, with the initial focus being on municipalities with the largest backlogs. That is really where we need to make an impact, and that is where the local government turnaround strategy becomes very important, to turn these municipalities and these spaces and communities around to ensure better service delivery. The Department of Cooperative Governance, Chairperson, together with provinces, should prioritize ward-level service improvement plans. Chairperson, planning starts at the ward level, at the smallest possible unit within communities. And we have specifically mobilized communities and structured them in this particular way in order to ensure improved interaction with municipalities. It starts, Chairperson, with quality integrated development plans and the participation of ward committees in planning becomes very critical, because we will see more and more service delivery protests, Chair, if there is a low level of participation. So the functionality of these committees and structures become very, very important, and also to ensure that they are capacitated to make appropriate decisions. It doesn't help we set up the committees, but the participants in those committees are not capacitated to pronounce on complex infrastructure projects. We need to capacitate them with a basic level of understanding of how they should prioritize and start planning. Chairperson, that is the end of the presentation. Just to indicate, the Millennium Development Goals almost covers the entirety of our work, but we needed to be specific in the presentation to indicate, honorable members, specifically where we are intervening and where our progress will have a meaningful impact on achieving the targets set by the Millennium Development Goals. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the presentation. I haven't even made some comments. Honorable Boinam wants to kick in. You may come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. the presenter alluded to the fact that you can't build a dam next to the community and the next in the community doesn't have water. I know of the communities where there is no dam, but there are two strong perennial springs. But the people don't have water. You don't even need to purify that water. It's clean. The community of Dinukana, Velvetart, Nzulitsoku, Musweu have no water, and yet there's plenty of water around them. It just needs to be laid down by pipes. Now, I find it very, very disturbing that instead of the council laying water to the people through pipes so that they can have running water, they actually resort to giving themselves tenders to deliver water with trucks to certain centers. They have put up JoJo tanks, and then they pour water in there. And many a times, people discover that dead cats are thrown into those JoJo tanks, and unknowingly, they keep on drinking, and the children suffer terrible ailments. And this has been discovered, but nothing is being done. As I'm talking to you, that system of transporting water with trucks is still taking place. And I think really this has been going on for so many years, and something must be done to actually stop that and lay water to the people, because it's easy to do that. It's very easy to do that. Now, in slide number 9, you have also indicated that there are places where water infrastructure is actually there, but still taps are dry. And I think this is due to poor workmanship, that people are given tenders when they don't qualify. They are not actually qualified to do that particular work, and I think you need to look into that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to thank the department for their report on the Millennium Development Goals. And I think, Chair, there are serious concerns as far as meeting the targets that are envisioned here. If you look at slide 7 on page 4, the department says that the latest available measures as far as access to water to households is 94.7%. Yet if you go to slide 9 on page 5, it says almost 21% of households with access to water, and highlight with access to water infrastructure have a service that is not working. So in actual fact, Chair, that number you see there is flawed. You are actually talking about 73.7%. And my question then is, how certain are we that we are going to be delivering in 2014 100% of water to our households? It's a concerning issue, Chair, because we often throw these figures, and even if you sit and listen to the Ministry of Water and Sanitation, they beg that they are delivering 94% of water to communities. But in actual assessment, when you go to the ground, I often want to talk to what is literally seen on the ground. And you take KSD municipality, for example, in the Eastern Cape, that being Mthatha. The last people that enjoy clean drinkable water are the residents of Mthatha itself. As soon as you drive past Ultra City and you are heading towards Vigisville or Uno or Mvezo, there is no access to clean drinkable water, whereas that is the majority of the people are residing in those rural areas. And I think the department needs to be serious about its statistics that it draws, because you will find that these statistics actually talk to the 40% of people living in urban spaces. So you look at the Eastern Cape, yes, people in Mthatha, not people outside the space of Mthatha. I don't think the department really knows what is actually happening in those areas. And this is where I really want us to start investigating. And perhaps if we go on oversight, it is these areas that we should be looking at, Chair. Because there are double standards in services that are rendered. You find in some instances, these JoJo tanks, as the Honorable Member Boinamong has said, they put JoJo tanks, but phone the municipality and tell them as a resident that owns the JoJo tank that you suddenly have no water. Can they fill up your Toyota tank, they will tell you that we don't service that environment. We only service the main area of Mthatha. So if you're sitting in Machenengqina, which is outside the town, they won't come and fill up your tank. So the municipalities themselves don't render services effectively to our people. Then there's this issue of sanitation for me, which is also problematic, because when we talk sanitation and deliverables, as far as that is concerned, in townships, in urban space, we are fitting flushing toilets. Yet in rural space, we are fitting those drop hole toilets. When would the infrastructure be at a level that is satisfactory to all our citizens equally, on equal basis? Not because you are in a rural space, you must get a drop toilet, and then that says to our people and our citizens that in order to enjoy better services, you need to relocate from a rural space to an urban setting. And that is the challenge we continuously face of urban migration. So how do we then ensure that we render the same services to our people in rural space and ensure that we better their lives? Lastly, Chair, you know, we talk about this issue of refuse removal. And again, I want to emphasize that this is an urban constructed agenda. I'll make an example with our own, my own village that I'm from, that being Mvezo. The Department of Environmental Affairs put in bins in one of their tourism site where there's a multi-purpose center, a cultural center, and the tribal court. And on Mandela Day, which is July 18th, we went around as a community with an initiative of Keep Your Village Clean. And we collected all the rubbish and put it and filled up all the bins in the community. And then we phoned the municipality to come render services of taking the garbage. And we were told instantly that, sorry, we don't service that area. We only service Mthatha. And then I've asked them to put that in writing. They will not do so. And yet, when you look on stats, on the carbon paper, it says, no, in Mvezo, we have fitted bins and there is a service being rendered. But in actual practice, you've left a white elephant here. It's not effective. It's not being utilized. So I would really want to ask the department chair on their performance agreements, which the president has with the minister and the minister has with the relevant DGs, and it escalates down to the local municipalities. How do we ensure that we measure this effectively and efficiently and ensure that the steps that we talk about we can truly back? Can the department provide us with steps that quantify what the scenario is in the Eastern Cape? What is the scenario per ward, per municipality, per district municipality? So coming from those areas, we can go and be able to assess if their undertakings are actually what we find on the ground. And lastly, Chair, the real importance of this is for them to be able to back the information that they put out. We want to be certain that this that is said to us can effectively be what is on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. And thank the department for the presentation. But I really feel that this is not even a summary of what I really expected. When we talk about progress, we really want a detailed report, because this really doesn't represent what I know of what is happening. It doesn't talk. You don't tell me. When you were presenting, I was really not here. I was in my constituency. To be saying that does my constituency contribute to this report? Because really there is a lot of issues going on. Coordinating structure, yes, we do understand. Because at the end of the day, when there is no water in a municipality, the people don't go to water first. They come to local government. And like you are talking about access, I want to know how measurable is access. What do you mean by access? While on regular basis, there is shortage of water. And where I come from, almost every weekend, there is no water. And at the end of the day, you find that my phone or my house have now become an information center, whereby when I come, people stop me to be telling me that there is no water, but there is funeral somewhere, there is whatever. Now, I want to know really what, when you say access, what does that mean? Because you find that there are taps, like you have said, they are not working. You find that there is this problem of pipe, old pipes, all those things, a lot of things around there. And another thing, when you are talking about access of water, what type of water are you talking about? Because in my constituency, the coastal river, there is spillage of sewage in that river. Even in Lelispoort, there is spillage of sewage in that China. It's a long-term problem. That is why I say when you talk about access, do you say when there is water there, that is access? Is that water really good for consumption? When you talk about water committee, the issue of uniformity of pipes, you find in the same province, the other municipality are paying 500, the other are paying 1,000, the other they are not even paying. What does that, why can't we have uniformity? And the monitoring and evaluation to see the to see the right thing. And really, it really helped me when you say that you are reporting implementation at this era. I always say that I came here 2009, considering myself a new member. I'm just next to exit, but we are still talking about reporting implementation. I really can't really accept that. Are we still reporting implementation? Not implementation. You are reporting establishment, while I'm expecting you to be reporting implementation. Establishment of what committee at this era? No, I really can't. And I don't understand when you say in the progress slide 8, you say achievable. What does this mean? Have you achieved them, or do you imply that you are putting this this indicator and it's achievable? What does that achievable? What does this mean? Have you achieved it? Or do you tell me that is achievable? And if it is achievable, when will it be? The last thing, Chair, is why I'm saying this is a summary. I don't know summary of a summary. I would like, when I say progress, when I'm sitting here, when I get out of here, I can go to Northwest and say, Northwest, this is how you are, to unpack this thing. Because at the end of the day, you are talking about 5.3 households still do not have service at all. Where are we talking about? Is it in Western Cape? Because whenever I got the report from Western Cape, everything is very going well. Or where is it in particular? Hence, because I'm saying Kekeng River Municipality, Kekeng River Municipality, I don't think it's 5.3. We don't have services. Therefore, I want this to be unpacked. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm happy that the chair at least looked to the side. Okay, I think just turning the head sideways, at least she lifted up her head. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your convincing presentation. I don't know whether it wants the members to be convinced or it's reported that way deliberately. Chairperson, my concern lies on almost every page that has been reported. I'm not criticizing, but it causes concern. Like, for instance, when you come to this Millennium Development Goals, I think it's good that you just look at them and not comment, as you said, and we should comment on what concerns our department as represented. Maybe some of us don't understand that when there's a change in department, everything comes to a standstill and wait for a new person to come and start again. Maybe that's the routine. We don't know. Because we think that this department has been there all along. And to my knowledge, we've been getting the same promises, same figures. If we can go to according to your slides, my colleagues have mentioned some few things that I jotted down here. But when you come to service delivery, and we report that some of them are being politically motivated. As a member of parliament, you ask yourself the question that in your areas, these people are not motivatically influenced, but you see a person without water altogether saying there's no water, we have been here for 3 days, and you look at them, they're dirty. That has got nothing to do with being motivated to protest. It means that the service delivery is not taking place. I'm from an area in the Northern Cape. It's a disaster. There's a place called Sineng in the Vague 6. It's a desert. There's nothing. They don't have houses. They don't have water. Water, even in the Jojos. If you can tell them that there's something called Jojo, they are going to ask you what do you mean. But here the percentage that you are giving is 94. I don't think that the 6 point something is only that area. Because I stay in the Northwest province. In the rural area, there are a lot of villages. Like where I come from in Motswedi. That village is called Motswedi, as other members said. There's a stream that, you know, water comes out. That's why it's called Mosuit. I don't know whether something has to be done in order they can use that water. They don't have water from the reservoirs for years. And since 2009, they've been singing the same song. But here we are saying achievable. This can be done. Or maybe Is it because of the turnaround strategy? If it is, Madam Chair, we are going to turn around until we are busy. I'm telling you. Because our people now are fighting. There's no service delivery, there's no what. Refuse removal. A big, big town like Mafikeng, it's in a mess. You can't even drive a car. It's in a mess. There's everything is littered. But we keep on saying it's achievable, the percentage. I wrote things here that really, really, really helped me, that if one of our people can see this report, it's going to ask me whether I'm staying in Mars or on Earth, because these things are not in our provinces. So, Chair, in general, and just to be plain blank, we appeal to our department, please, to help our people. You know, people sometimes think that we speak this thing because we are opposition. No, it's not that. You know, when South Africa sings, everybody's going to sing. Even me being a UCDP member, I'm going to go down the drain because there's no service delivered. Our municipalities are not doing anything. And this boils back to show that our department is not monitoring. Our department doesn't know what happens to the provinces. We went to Eastern Cape with the Department of Women to, you know, it's pathetic. There's no water. And when you come with a bottle, imagine people not having water and you come with it. You are playing big to the people because you can drink water from the bottle. They don't have water to wash or to take their kids to school to be clean. So my appeal is, General Madam Chair, let's not come and convince people who are sitting down, and let's do something about the service delivery of our department. Our department, Chair, is totally, totally, totally. Maybe it's because you are changing offices or what, but people are not, they are going to end up not, Chair, you know, our people are losing patience. If you talk of municipality, they're mad. And now when you read such a thing and you go to them again and try and say, people, things will be right, they'll tell you that just because you're sitting in Cape Town. So people, let's do something. Or maybe, as my party, we have to kneel down and pray for our department. Thank you, Chair.
Mine is nothing else but the concern, and it's really frustrating. I just want to highlight to the department that not maybe we are taking it, but maybe we have to get an eye opener to the department itself. Hence, I'm looking here at the figures which have been highlighted here from slide number 8. You sit down and ask yourself that these figures, where did they come from? Do the department went out and do what you call a fact finding? Or they've been just sent to the department to come and be forwarded to the committee? I'm saying this because some of us, it's pathetic from where we come from. Looking at 94% of access to water. I'm sorry, you know, it's a cry. You may ask the department why Honorable is talking about access to water, why all of us we are talking about the same thing, but it's a cry from the public. From where I come from, I'm born and raised from Northwest Itaun. To where I can repeat what Honorable had said before. Honorable had said before. Binamo had said before. In Itaun, we've got what we call Itaun Dam. We've got Fall River, which is next to us. But it's pathetic. where I'll highlight to the department that there is what you call a public exploitation. And that's where it has causes one of the protesters to burn the house of the councillor. What is happening there? There is a tender where it's given to a particular company. You may find that instead of our public to get access to water, they are charged the minimum of 3,000 to 4,000 rand so that they can get tap on their yard. Then you ask yourself, and the whole scenario is it happens when one of our pensioners receive a large amount of money from the pension. For the mere fact that she's far away from the urban area, she don't know where to go. She took the last 3,000 rand so that she can have access to water. Is it how the department is saying that the public is getting water, access to water? That is why I'm trying to highlight that I'm not agreeing with this 94%. Then again, we come back to slide 8 again, where the department indicates that 79 municipalities had implemented the CWP. I think this is not enough. From 253 or 283 of municipalities, then the department says that it has achieved those 79 municipalities. My question is, as other honorables have related to the department, do the department go out and monitor what is happening? Because as a rural area, there's nothing like this CWP, and that's where poverty comes from. So my pitch to the department is, please, don't just accept the figures from somebody who took the advantage. The department will never go and investigate. Go and do the fact finding by yourself. That's where now you'll be able to come up with the correct figures. Thank you very much.
Much has been said, Chairperson, and I think all of us can come with the same, because I can Northwest, I've been going through my camera and I want to show the photos that we see. Yes, there may be delivery, but what kind of delivery are we having? That is the problem. We've got roads in some areas where you will still find 3 years later, after the contractor has moved up, it hasn't been finished and the bricks are still there paving. Between Schweizer Renica and Freiburg, DJ, I want to show you the road. There's no road. It is totally disintegrated. We have between Artebeersfontein and Colini in the northwest. That road is just disintegrated. Costa and Derby, you ride next to the road, you ride in the felt, literally, you ride in the felt. Those of us that are traveling up and down, it's a nightmare to travel at night. So we have delivery, yes, but we have many challenges in the way implementation is taking place. So my question is to the department, the monitoring thereof. Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Nandoni there, Limpopo. I think that was one of our first overstand visits, where the dam, we saw the dam, we saw the piping that was laid, but the water went right past the community, and it went to another community. The nearest community wasn't getting water, because the pipes that were put in were SABS approved pipes, but they were faulty. And I think it was months afterwards we got there, and there was still no water. So how do you explain that to people? Mafeking, you cannot drive in Danville. You cannot drive in Danville because you don't know where to ride. There's curb stones along the side, and the hole is, the road is so full of holes. So we have this delivery, but I think we have major challenges with the implementation. And my question to the department is, how is it being monitored? That is a crisis. It's a crisis that we have on our hands. And I think we need to face that crisis. We need to take it all by the horns, and we need to deal with it. Chairperson, the statistics, I don't think the format of reporting can be correct. Because we're reporting, yes, there's bulk water, but how many houses have water? And so I think our reporting needs to be somewhat different, because we've been raising this, I think. We've been raising it the years that I've been at the district municipality and saying, but yes, there's bulk water because we were responsible for bulk water, but how much of that water gets to the people? I think Honourable Mandela spoke about Eastern Cape. There's been spoken about Northern Cape. There's been spoken about Northwest. KZN, in beginning of the year, we went to. There's an area about 60 km from Escort that we were at. You know, by the Jefferson, can I be protected, please? I can also take my photos over now. Chair, I think RDP houses have been standing incomplete without roofs since 2005 or 7. 2000. And the house that these people are living in, and it's not the only case, is crumbling, literally crumbling. The one wall was done, people put... I think by the time we got to the third house, it was traumatic to get out of the combi and go and see people's flat. No water, no sanitation, houses that were... But that was after the disaster. What was this thing? That was scaled down. But what was said was that area had already, they'd applied for disaster funding. We don't know whether the disaster funding had gone through. But the damage we saw was an add-on of the damage of a few years earlier, and the RDP house is standing there. So my issue, Chairperson, is around how are we monitoring and how are we reporting. I think the needs, the measurements need to be changed somehow. We need to say, yes, at this point, this is the percentage. At the next point, this is the percentage, so that we can measure where the gap is and address the gap. And then the last is Chairperson that I want to speak about, because we can speak about all the time. Has there been a research study on service delivery process? A proper research study. We come back and we say it's political. It's political. But I think all of us watch some of these. We watch TV and on various programs. Third Degree is very famous for showing the terrible things that is happening in the country. Yes, we can stand back and say sensationalism, and that they're picking up the worst scenarios. And yes, I want to agree. in some instances, we never see anything of the development that is taking place. We will never see that. I think it was in Mpumalanga that was shown recently. Does the department follow up on some of these things that we see? The Northern Cape came up, so what is the monitoring mechanism, and do people go out to go and check what is happening? Last one, Chairperson, I must do this, and I've been raising it a lot of the time. Are we looking at MISA as our saving grace? I say this, Chairperson, because before we had MISA, we had CNZ Manji. Before we had special purpose vehicle. Before that, we had PMU. Before that, we had PMS. And all of these things were put in place to address problems that we're sitting with today still. What makes MISA different? And what has MISA... I was trying to page back, but my this book doesn't go back long enough. It's only since February. To see when the department first started speaking to us about MISA. And to date, maybe at one stage, Jefferson, we must be aware of these people being placed. Are they in municipalities on an ad hoc basis? And what specifically has been reached in terms of or with MISA in municipalities? Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Chair. I know that they will say I'm going to ask the same question, but I won't ask the same question. DG, it's just an appeal to you now, not to anybody. Don't you want even wire myself to go to the figures? These figures, you got them from Human Settlement. Human Settlement, they've got the figures from Water Affairs. This is just a string. You don't have to worry about figures at all. Now we are fighting with a program of sanitation. DCOG, Human Settlement, Water Affairs. But this program, it has been transferred from Water Affairs to Human Settlement. And then, besides being in this program, we are also serving Human Settlement. And then we called both presidents, the president, monitoring the evolution. We called the appropriation. We called Human Settlement, and also your department. You did make the presentation that we would like this program strategy to be with you. Then comes the question. You can't even spend Nick Van. Now you are asking for them to be transferred to you. My that to do us a favor. If you check these are political. And then the president pronounces that they are moving this plantation to Human Settlement. Now the Water Affairs, they know that they are using this for their own benefit. Because there's a tender and everything there. They are making money with the plantation. Everyone, every department will have to get this one. If you can do us a favor, in the next meeting, and then we just said you can call other DGs, Human Settlement, Water Affairs. Of course, you sit down and iron out everything, and then come back to us and get into the report. If you are as a company in the session, when you're watching Pretty Green, in the Eastern Cape, the area of the region is Chrisland. The area is Bolotwe, where even the politicians, people and the police people, we're going to show there's the police there, day and night. Because there's no sanitation, there's nothing. Besides, of course, the program, they are quite right to show us what's going on. My appeal to you, instead of discussing this, we know that these figures they are not coming from you. All of these, if you can say now, achievable. Whereas you said the latest development measure, 94.7%, you know that it is not here. It is just the consultant who gave the water first the figures, and then they gave the information to others. And then if you can do us a favor and arrange a meeting with other and the TGs, you sit down, you have not everything, then you come back to us and give us that one. Of course, in paper, it's quite right. You can ask your question, what is happening in Kisani and at Solwane Municipality? The situation. You know. This is just an overall of the picture, as if things are right. My appeal to you, DDG, now that you have moved from Solwane to Tikokna, please do us a favor and give us a proper report of everything. Everything. If you check now the involvement of the committee, this is one committee and all that. Please do us a favor. Okay, I'm sure it was on slide. Was it? No. On slide 8. We have been saying this here for all this. Because we were in these places. I said to the department, we were at Msundu's, Peter Marisbeth, where one street, well, there was another tender was cleaning that street. Another street is there, another company. But because before, the cleaning of the street and everything was done by you. We were debating to get money to be allocated to a department. And then in turn, you transfer the money to provinces. Well, what is that money going to do? If you are going to tell us that 94,000 what is that? Now we have outsourced everything we do was done by municipalities. We are still over 10 jobs. It's quite better. Now we are getting a person a day to come back and mill. It's around. And then at the same time we are saying now we are creating the job. And if you go to shop and ask how much is it or to come back from mill, it's around. And then you say, yeah. And then you can simply be proud and say, you have created 94,000. This information is misleading to the president. The president will send them and say, we have created 500,000 jobs. Whatever it is misleading. People are misleading the country. It's the DGs. Because they are giving the information to the minister, and minister is proud to say that the president, when they are counting, president, we are planning so. Only for that, it is the DGs who are giving us the problem. Do us a favor, then, the DG. Now we are with us. This is not a plea to you. Leave all this, and then you sit down. Before coming to us and sit down with our DGs, and they sit down and say, no, is this the information you give me? Is this real? It's not that you have got diligence, which are good for you. They are giving you this information, and in turn, you are going to sit with the minister. Do us a favor. We used to sit down with other DGs so that we give the president the correct information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
DG, listening to the comments and questions from members, it means that there is still lots to be done, as some members have commented of saying that maybe the changing of leadership in the department because I'll call you by name Ricardo, you know who this because if you could see during Ricardo's presentation, she keep on saying that members, I know we do our work and we do our oversight. When coming to committee work, we do our oversight. You go all over the country to the 9 provinces. When coming to our constituency period, we do our work. We go down to the constituencies. That's why he's saying we know almost everything. But I'm worried by the officials that are deployed to provinces are not able to pick up all these problems that we encounter in doing our work. And also there were some issues raised by members needs to be investigated. Honorable Musimane raised an issue of saying that in other areas, in other municipalities, for a household to receive a line to come in for a water pipes must pay up to 3,000 rand. Talking about the pension, now you're talking about an indigenous person. So to receive water, it's all those cases needs to be intervened and investigated, because it gives us a bad name from the people, which everything, even we have an indigent program, yet we ask such a large amount from a pensioner to pay so that she'll be able to get what is eligible to her by our constitution and the Bill of Rights, and he needs to pay it. Members made mention of some roads who with portfolio. We are talking about CWP project here. And I've seen one on those shows. I'm not biased, members, in saying we are constructing ourselves. We must appreciate in some areas. There was one show that has been shown about Western Cape filling in of potholes in their CWP program, whereby they've got a toll-free line. If I'm driving towards that area, I'm phoning immediately after that, maybe after 2-3 hours, they fill that pothole. The resources that they are having, what do you call it, the thing that they use for tar roads, the concrete one on bags. 50 bags, they load it and go to the pothole, and it's already mixed. They fill up those potholes. These are some of the practices that we need to preach and to learn from other provinces that are doing well. And also there was a mention from members of saying that we've got now a MISA program in place. We had some other ones, and Medija, they were saying that implementing our turnaround strategy will turn around until we see. So I think we need to receive also a presentation on the progress made on the development on the MISA project that the department has come up as part of intervention on technical skills in municipalities, a presentation on its own, so that we'll know which will be having a breakdown on where are these technical experts are deployed to. Yet to understand as a committee that the department is at the national level, you can receive or hear all these technical, I can call it technical figures, but we know as a committee we need a breakdown. Seated where I'm seated, to know which is the first band, Msugali municipality, we are talking about two technicians that are deployed there. They've assisted in progress thereof made since their deployment, because we need to chase the rand and cent and the progress made thereof. Talking about municipal with CWP, I'm amazed, Ricardo, because I've been watching TV on public works program, national public works. Mpumalanga has won 4 hours. That's why I'm not talking about it, because I thought maybe it's in my region where I'm staying, where it's visible and working. So it means then our audits went down to Mpumalanga, and they've seen that Mpumalanga is exercising that project very well with CWP, because Mpumalanga at public works provincial level, they won four hours across the country.
So it means then that you can copy even their style, because we are talking here about the gear, the things that they are wearing whilst working. But when seeing the people on the street in Mpumalanga, they wear boots, they wear full uniform, they wear, and you ask yourself, you go in another place, it's only a vest. So what's the difference? And it's only a vest, and there are few people, most of them, they are young people, Laguna, this thing of breakdown of the elderly people who need the intervention of money most, and those like, the young people, other places you see with this problem, people are benefiting. And also we must draw and learn lessons from those issues. I think listening to this presentation from the previous one, there is no movement at all. No improvement at all. We once received a community from Morningbed having a problem with CWP. Ricardo, we asked you to report back, you didn't. Whether you went there to meet those people, what is the progress after your intervention? Because Bona, they are here, they came to Parliament. It means now we have a slogan of saying that we need to gain trust from the people. But if people, they come here at the highest level and they don't get upset, what do you expect us to do? This is the highest, last level. They will lose hope on South Africa as a whole. So I think today's presentation, we think that we'll meet another one soon, whereby we do a thorough investigation and get some proper reports from provinces, from municipalities, so that you know what's happening about this, because it covers the performance of the department. If this report looks like the same report, that it didn't move with any improvement at all, so it means that the performance of the department, if I can give you 10 of that, so 10 of a 10, which I can give you 3 or 4. You want to come in?
Yes. To add to our chairperson, your deployees, or when you have deployed people to provinces, and also other departments have deployed the people to the same provinces. The report we are getting from Human Settlement, they were saying to us, there are no buckets systems in the Northwest. And then the mayor came up and said, no, there are buckets. Meaning that the information is going to the president. It won't be the same. If your deployees, people who have deployed them, they can help them, the organization with other departments. For your information, when it comes to sanitation, 57 million, which we have allocated to Northwest, for the first quarter, they were not used from Human Settlement. And then you are getting the information from Human Settlement that they have done so. Whereas 57 million, first quarter, they were not used. Now they have given you the info. That's why we say, if you can sit down and verify the information, first quarter, 57 million. If you can check they need the strategic people, but the money is there. No, not spent. Thanks, sir. Just what that you had.
Lastly, maybe on my comments before I give you to respond. We had a very fruitful exercise at the beginning of this quarter when calling MECs from provinces. At least for the first time, the presentation we received was like a first-hand information we are receiving from MECs. Because their briefings were the very same touchable things that you could see. So I think PG is even that exercise. I don't know how your powers are strengthened so that you will be able to visit each and every province and maybe visit each and every municipality and visit each and every MEC one by one to listen to them. That enriched our knowledge of what's happening to the 9 provinces after receiving those briefings from those MECs. The information that the department doesn't have. So that's the critical exercise that
we had as a committee, some of the information that were telling us, we already know because we go out to the oversight. So I think that exercise helps than relying to those officials who will come here and give you some closer reports. I'll give over to you, DG, and report and respond to the report.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I must say I'm quite overwhelmed by these comments. I complete my first month tomorrow. And that's the part of it. A lot has been said. On the specifics, I will defer to Mr. Hansby to interact with the specific questions that have been raised. Madam Chair, I will take your advice to visit the provinces, but perhaps I should say, this being the fifth week in the department, all the weeks that I've been in the department to date, I've been in Cape Town, coming to this committee or the other committees. I've never had time to go out and visit a single province. And I'm sure that trend is unlikely to change. That I'll be coming more to Cape Town than being able to visit other provinces to see what is happening out there. Madam Chair, there are a number of things that I found when I joined the department. And perhaps those are the things that might or must be laid bare before this committee. The department is in a very serious state. You imagine when you see a DG here, maybe some DCGs, that the department is operating at full capacity. It isn't. The department doesn't have capacity in all areas in respect of which we are expected to deliver. I'm not talking about the annual performance plan. It's a matter that our management meeting yesterday reflected on, that we don't have capacity in all the areas. We have vacancies, but we don't have money to fill those vacancies. And this is a consequence of decisions that were made sometime in 2009 and 2010. I'm not sure how privy this committee is to the fact that people have been displaced in the department. References made by you, Madam Chair, to people that are deployed in provinces. I think they are called the technical support units. That those units have been rejected by provinces because they see it as an attempt by the national department to substitute provinces by way of setting up its own structures there. Those structures have officially been disestablished, which means that even as you expect that they will give me a briefing on what's happening there, in reality they are not there. They are not allowed to operate in that space. This is where there is tension between the different spheres of government and the fact that, as it is said, we are neither a unitary or federal system, as the Deputy Minister always puts it. We are a complex system of cooperative government. This department at the national level is expected not to only rely on information that's given to it. It is expected to go out and verify this information. But in its makeup, in its configuration, it doesn't have the kinds of foot soldiers who will go out there and do that verification. It is staffed with people who, I can give the benefit of doubt, are policy experts in the main. Not people whose job it will be to go out there and do the kind of verification that the committee expects, quite legitimately. And as I've said, it's even worse that many posts are vacant. We are unable to fill them with people with the relevant skills to enable the department to deliver on its mandate. And this is what I'm taking stock of as part of my assessment of the department in my first month. And I'm identifying opportunities to interact with other departments of government to provide some assistance. I'm not talking giving me people, I'm talking technical assistance to help the department get on its feet. I'm not going to be talking to the Treasury, I'll be talking to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, no, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency. I'll be interacting with the Department of Public Service and Administration. Because it's only if I act in concert with them that there is any hope that the department, in the shortest possible time, can get back on its footing. The department has been restructured too many times. And in these restructuring processes, some of the best people the department has had have basically left the department out of frustration. Now you're left with pretty much a skeletal team of people. Yet we're still expected to deliver on the full mandate. I'm just trying to bring this reality to the attention of the committee, that the roads I've embarked upon, I have culpably, not well calculated it, but it's a job that must be done. And as I say, I'm by no means discouraged by the comments that are being made, because I think many of them are very constructive, and if taken into account, they can only help us turn the corner. I will come to this committee, I hope before the end of this year, to share with the committee what my overall assessment of the department is, in the hope that the committee will then work with me. Not necessarily to ask the committee to be soft on us. And I'm quite concerned to hear other committee members almost coming across as saying, we are not attacking, we are not criticizing. Well, in fact, it is your job to do so. I don't think the committee should be apologetic about doing its job. I think it must. But Madam Chair, one of the consequences of the restructuring process is that in the department, in our monitoring and evaluation center, we only have a director. One person. We don't have money to staff there, but it's an area that is very critical. And we're having to do some restructuring, reprioritization of our resources to try and staff that area, because it is very critical. It is very central to our mandate as the National Department. We need to be in a position to evaluate effectively so that we are able to provide reliable information to the committee. At this point in time, we don't have that capacity in the department. The consequence is that we rely entirely on what we are given by provinces, by municipalities, on what obtains down there. We have no way of critically verifying whether the information we've received is accurate. And we, of course, have to come here because we've been invited by this committee, which we dare not defy. We have to come here and share with the committee what we've got. But, of course, we have to acknowledge the fact that this information has been obtained from elsewhere and that we've not been able to verify it. Honourable Member Mashoba has been quite correct in his observation that the stats that are being questioned here are not stats that are manufactured by the department sitting in Pretoria. This is information emanating from other departments. And it might might have, Madam Chair, now that the committee is aware of which departments are integral to this part of our work in relation to the MTGs, that perhaps an invitation is also extended to them when we're invited the next time around. So that whilst we will do our first attempt at verification, which we don't have the capacity to do, I must add, that at least those who have provided the information are here together with us to provide answers to the committee. Otherwise, the impression is created that this department is not doing what it's supposed to do simply because it's just giving you information that's been obtained from elsewhere. Madam Chair, the specific case of a pensioner somewhere in the Northwest, if we could be favored with specific details, I think we will make every effort to follow it up. Madam Chair, it probably would be a good idea for us to come and share with the committee what the role of MISA is and how different MISA is as an entity from efforts that have been made in the past. Because that on its own will be a detailed presentation. We might need to come to this committee to talk about the local government turnaround strategy. I know one of the honourable members has spoken quite disparagingly about the concept of turnaround, which is rather unfortunate. Madam Chair, if you afford us the opportunity, we will certainly come forward to brief the committee on how the department is faring in that area. Because this local government turnaround strategy and the MISA are in fact pretty much part and parcel of the same. And our ability to accelerate service delivery in the various areas, including those that are relevant to the MTGs, are quite linked to our ability to deliver on this general strategy. So I think that will certainly be very important, Madam Chair, that we do. Perhaps for now I should allow Mr. Hansby to interact with the specific questions that have been raised and some comments that have been tendered as well. And perhaps after that, Madam Chair, if you will permit, and if there's still time, I can then make some comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, DG. Chairperson, there are certain things that I can't say, which the DG can say. So you will understand why I held back on some of the information from the last presentation to now. And I must announce, Chairperson, that as a department, we are elated that finally we have a permanent DG there again. Because it was the cause of a great deal of indecision, instability, and so on. And we all know how important it is to have leadership and stability within an organization. So with the arrival of the DG, we are confident as a department that we are going somewhere. And DG already outlined where you see some of the challenges which have been there. But sometimes you don't want to come to your political principles and say, but these are our problems all the time. But I'm glad DG has been able to fill you in on that. Chairperson, let me also start out by firstly apologizing to the two lady members who felt that they were hurt by what I've said. I know there were two of the members who said they felt very hurt. It's not our intention to hurt anybody, so apologies for that. But Chair, I think what is important is that, let me start with the issue of the statistics and how we arrive at these. And yes, the assertion is correct that it, we get it from sector departments, we get it from provinces, we get it from municipalities. But the standard has been set simply by virtue of the RDP standards that was adopted some time ago in the 90s already in terms of how we measure delivery. Unfortunately, those things have not changed much since then. So the measurement was never about functionality. I think we were just in a rush at that point in time to get infrastructure to people, assuming that the infrastructure would be functional, that it would be maintained, and all of those things. So I'm just giving a background where it's coming from and why it is like that. And we need to fix it. Chairperson, it is on the agenda of the, a standing item on the agenda of the Human Settlements and Basic Services Task Team to look into data maintenance protocols. We call it that. It's a fancy term, but it's basically to ensure that we get our act together when it comes to reporting on accurate figures with regards to basic services. When we talk, for example, about 94%, it is just a question physically of where that infrastructure has been laid across the country. So, for example, in the case of water, the measurement is that it should be within, I think, 40 meters. There should be a standpipe within 40 meters from a particular household. Now, it doesn't address whether, number one, that tap is working, and it doesn't address, secondly, how many people rely on that one tap. Yes. So that is where a big part, and we are aware of this, and we are addressing it. We are too slow with regards to that, and we need to accelerate, and we take the admonishment from the committee that we need to step up our efforts and ensure that we sort the statistical part out. And you get, you know, these problems across the country, which brings us into the monitoring part. How do we verify? Is it pronounced on the capacity problems within the department with regards to monitoring and evaluation? But Chairperson, it is also a question of how we set up the entire monitoring and evaluation system within government, starting with DPME in the presidency. I can't speak on their behalf, but I think it's critical that the committee considers an engagement with all of those involved in the M&E of basic services, right up to the municipal level, so that we do have the evidence-based monitoring and evaluation that the committee requires. I always tell the colleagues at the office, we will never know about service delivery if we sit in offices in Pretoria and we don't get out into the field, because that is where it matters most. With the little resources and the little time available to us, we do make an effort, but that is not informed by a systematic approach to ensure proper monitoring and evaluation. You need a monitoring and evaluation structure within our department that will take care of ensuring that we follow the rand. I think the chairperson mentioned this earlier, the value for the rand and following the rand as we transfer it from national to the municipalities to ensure that it's actually spent on the reservoir, on the potholes, on the municipal road, on the street lighting, on all of those things. Then we start talking, Chairperson, about the value chains. Now, I'm talking to you about things that we are working on, because one of the questions was, have you achieved this? Or are you saying it's achievable, or whatever the case may be? We are saying we are working on these things so that it becomes achievable, Chairperson. There were very specific examples in specific constituencies that you've raised. And it's a failure of our system that we couldn't give a report specifically on what is happening in X community with regards to a particular water challenge when it comes to the JoJo tanks, for example. We should be able to have access to that type of information in order for us to respond adequately. But we cannot respond, Chairperson, if we don't have the information. We cannot get the information because we don't have the capacity. And I've raised this in the presentation as well to say that the fiscal allocation to infrastructure is not adequate. That includes monitoring and evaluation and the management of the funds. I'll give you an example, Jay. We, MIG is about 14 billion rand. We are not allowed as the department to take a small percentage of that funds to create capacity to manage the fund. It is actually unheard of that you're entrusted with so much money, but you're not allowed to create the capacity to manage it. Because things will just go awry if we at the national level, we're not able to manage it very tightly. And that is part of the problem in the system at the moment. We're not allowed to take money from the MIG to create the capacity to manage it appropriately. That is why when we give it to municipalities, they report back, no, but you see that reservoir was built. We get the reports and it will benefit so many people. But if we actually by chance, or the committee ends up in a community by chance one day, let's say, you're talking about the reservoir, but there's a 3 year, you know. It only comes to light then, because we simply didn't have the capacity to effectively manage and monitor that particular program. Chairperson, I want to turn to issues with related specifically to the community work program. Chair, the community work program, as I said, the success, the broad success of the program has been in its simplicity. And again, when I introduced the item, I've acknowledged that there are challenges with regards to CWP. And that being honest, from the last engagement with this committee and other committees on CWP, we were not completely aware and sensitive to some of the challenges there. But what happened, you must remember, within my branch in the department, I have 22 programs. All of those programs don't have proper project management. So we don't always see what is happening down there. And it was good that the committee highlighted this because it gave us an opportunity to start focusing on it. And yes, there are challenges with regards to applying the standard across the board, the same standard, with regards to CWP. We have responded and we're creating capacity with regards to that within the department. We are assigning some of the colleagues who are additional to the establishment. We're already assigning them to the program to beef up our capacity there as we upscale it. Chairperson, with regards to, and that relates also to the issue of protective clothing. We have specifically made the item of protective clothing a priority because there are liability issues involved where, for example, somebody gets bitten by a snake or somebody works with waste and they don't wear gloves. So we are aware and we are stepping in to ensure that there is delivery of protective clothing, delivery of tools and materials to all sites across the country. There has been somewhat of an under expenditure on CWP. We're even picking up on that. We've accelerated the payment of invoices now. That has taken place over the last 2 months. We are more or less up to date, for example, with regards to that. Because if we don't pay the invoices, the sites cannot get up to the numbers that we require. Chairperson, also on CWP, the issue was raised in terms of the number. Chair, we work with an allocation. This is one of those programs where we can't put more people. We work it out unit cost. In other words, this is the cost per opportunity. And that includes the cost of the protective clothing and all of those things, and the wages within all of that. And if Treasury gives us a particular amount of money, you know, that we can only create X number of jobs. And that is exactly what happened. That's why I said on the increased allocation, we are still working out and doing the number crunching on exactly how many jobs we will be creating over and above the 325,000 which has been set as an MTF target. So, Chair, with regards to CWP, it remains within our means, we feel, to upscale the program. The issue of the remuneration of workers participating on the program, which Honorable Machoba has raised, we are, the chairperson, very concerned ourselves about the level of remuneration. We also feel that people should get more. But Chair, that determination is made through the EPWP wage determination by the Minister of Labour. 65 rand is the minimum
that has been decided upon by the Minister of Labour as the standard for EPWP workers. Now, within EPWP, you have different categories of workers. The mainstream EPWP working on infrastructure, they get more than the 65 rank because they have a basic skill. I mean, I'm just trying to explain why it is like that. I'm not defending why it is so low. CWP workers are normally the poorest of the poor. And the idea behind it was that to say, let us firstly give people exposure to work so that they can get experience to get into the labor market eventually. Many of them will never get into the formal labor market simply because the economy and the world economy has not been doing well. Chairperson, but then we also said it is also to enable them just to put some bread on the table. The CWP has not been meant to be a permanent employment program. That's why it is called specifically in its design a short-term employment program as a social safety net for those who cannot find appropriate and sustainable employment. Now, I'm just explaining the background again. I'm not defending the low wage rate. Our minister has indicated that he wants to take up this issue of how much people are earning. So we are not insensitive to that particular issue. I think all of us would like to see people earning a better income from this particular program. So Chairperson, I just wanted to touch. There are many other, I just wanted to come to more specifics here, Chair, if you allow me. MISA, Chairperson. The issue around MISA, and I've prefaced the introduction of MISA as a solution, or part of the solution, by also saying that MISA will not solve all the problems in municipal infrastructure. MISA will get an allocation of about 600 million over the MTF. Chair, if you compare it to the challenge with regards to municipal infrastructure, it is not enough. MISA will help, it will contribute, and I don't want to preempt the actual presentation, but I think the context is important. That the challenge is much bigger, and that is why I said, as a government, the delivery of municipal infrastructure should be prioritized in the same way as employment creation. That started to happen with the Cabinet Lokhotla of last year, where there were only two issues on the agenda, namely unemployment and service delivery. But we haven't seen it through in our fiscal allocations to local government and to municipal infrastructure. Chairperson, there are specific issues that you've raised with regards to the localities, as I've indicated. The DG has indicated if we can get more information about those, we will within our means try to respond to those particular issues where we can have an impact and address the municipalities. But at the core of this is, as the Deputy Minister always says, it's a cumbersome system of governance. It is disjointed, and it's simply a design fault, I would call it. I don't want to pronounce on what our constitution makers drafted in those days, but I'm just saying from a practical point of view, we don't have the full control of a municipality to say, you have to spend that money on the project that we have given you the money for. But those are things we need to fix, and that is why we've come up with the concept of cooperative governance to set up the appropriate structures and all of those things. Chairperson, I want to conclude, and I know I didn't cover everything by point, but as I said, the area-specific issues, we'd like more detail because I'm not in a position to respond specifically on what's happening in Bekkersdal right now or whatever the case may be, but we'd like that so that we can respond more appropriately. Chairperson, I want to round it off. Chairperson, I want to come to the point really of you know the suggestion that was made that we come with a more comprehensive report on the whole department, the whole sector. But again, Chair, it shouldn't only be this department, as DG indicated. It involves other critical departments as well. Our failure is not only our failure in and by itself. It is systemic across government, where we need to strengthen our interactions and our systems. Chairperson, I appreciate the fact that going forward you need detail up to community level. In certain programs we can give that. Remember in CWP we started that, where we actually gave the sites. And just to indicate again, every municipality will have a site going forward in the country with the plans to upscale. We cannot have it now, but we are upscaling within this year to ensure that every single municipality will have it. Chairperson, I don't know if I've covered the principal issues comprehensively, but I think, as I said, the specific details we would like to engage with them following this meeting.
According to my understanding, Ricardo, municipality to have access to the program or to implement a program of CWP needs to do some applications on how many. You've presented, good, you've got 78 municipalities participating now. Out of 278, you need to expand it. But are there municipalities knowing that they should make sort of a costed, budgeted sort of a program of a plan to implement that CWP program, because that's the difficulty from the municipalities that I do oversight in my constituency to do application on the funds of CWP. Are there any assistance that you are giving to municipalities to know how to go about to access that fund? And also, it came from the very same committee during our observation in the last presentation. I don't remember the whole amount per member who needs to participate in the CWP program. How much was that? But our observation was saying that the whole, most, or three-quarter part of the money that is allocated according to your calculation to one person who needs to participate goes to the facilitators, your manager, your prosthetic clothing, but the beneficiaries that you are targeting end up with crumbs from the whole chunk. So we recommended as a committee that you go through your interactions with other department or even Department of Public Works and indicate the issue or non-satisfaction of us as a politicians in observing that we can budget such amount and have a number of this amount, saying that job opportunities have been, like that Majoba used to comment, but 65 rand at the end, but there's a big allocation for one person, and those who have ended up benefiting from the project that we are targeting a pure people on. I'll call you as the first one to want to come in for it. You appreciate?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a follow-up. Mine is just a follow-up question. The DG mentioned that the technical support officials who have been sent to the provinces, they were not accepted by the province. My question is, did the department communicate with the province about the presence and the purpose of the technical support officials for being there?
It started from MINMEC level, there were communications. The problem is with those technical staff was that, I just want to make example with KZN. KZN is saying, yes, you've deployed some people or a person in our area to assist from national, but the person is a doctor by profession. How is this person gonna, doesn't have any knowledge or experience for local government? That's why there is some sort of undermining those people who doesn't give access. I was just making one example. But with Free State, the problem, the person who was deployed in Free State, I'm talking about the experience. I think we were all there when we were visiting Free State. There were two presentations while we were there. Presentation from MEC and the presentation from the official was two different things. But the presentation from the official was the true reflection of what we were seeing on the ground, and official from the department. And the presentation from MEC was contradicting. That's why in some areas there is this not lack of communication, there's not the acceptance. Because like in Free State one, I saw him more effective doing monitoring there, because he was presenting the things that we saw while we were on the ground. And it was different days. We started with the official having presentation 2 days after, and continuing with the visit, we received a presentation from MEC. It was completely totally different from what we presentation we received from the official. Because Mandel.
Thank you, Chair. I'm becoming more concerned each time Ricardo utters more information here. One tab, each 40 meters. Where? It's non-existent. And, Chair, you know, one old man in my village continuously says, justice delayed is justice denied. And I really want to see a change, DG, after today's meeting, and would want to emphasize again on this slide 7, page 4. 94% literally after taking into consideration 21% leaves us with 73.7%. And if you talk about sanitation, 84% taking into consideration the 26% leaves us with 58%. Can we today achieve that through this meeting to correct these numbers and ensure that the different departments correct these numbers, because they are not what they seem to be on the ground in practice? You can't say because you fitted a pipe in my community that I have access to water. That is not water. So please, Chair, can we have these figures changed? Can we get a commitment today? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. To DG, we don't need answers now. When we come back, we visited your office, whether you were not there. And then as this committee, from there we went to see the old man, the first president of the county, Bob Mandel, from your office. The people were crying there, your officials there, double begging. People were there, no, today we are changing your organogram, tomorrow they are changing. And then we are still talking about, we have to do research again. There were 32 people who went up back to them. Next time, if you come, please do us a favor and tell us how many are they back now. Because people were there, going in the morning at 8 o'clock, of course, goes home. But if before knew who was the director, when it comes, the human report, the people are not more reporting to him now. They are reporting to somebody else. But he has got an office and the computers, everything. But there are no people who are reporting to them. That's why I mentioned, they went to take 10 of them. Senior officials, with this change of organogram, in future, when they come back, we must give us exactly how many are not applying now. On which program? Thanks.
On that one, did you get access to your staff members when you were in your offices? The minister was not there and the DG was not there. instead of us going back, we called all the staff members and special sort of commission, group ourselves with 10, 12 officials. They were free to talk because I was deployed to those 12 officials and she was deployed to those, and they talk. That's where we get to know what's happening in that department. We were there. The minister knew that we were coming, and the DG, both of them, they were not there. Instead of continuing with our meeting, we call all the staff members and we sat down and they talked to us. That's how we found that they were double. In fact, it's 48 that I'm there. And you, in your remarks, you made mention at DG that there were very good staff members who were there and has left the department through frustration. In those interactions, we could see that they were, especially the women, many of them, they were women.
Women, yeah, from Ghana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was even going to talk about, maybe to clarify the issue of double picking, to be saying two people in one post. Mm-hmm. And one will ask, when I'm sitting here as a former manager of a department, where do you get money to pay the other one who's who, whatever? I think it should be corrected. And I really pity you, DG, but I think you came at the right time and there is a purpose for you to come here. You are not just being picked up. I even become religious to be saying maybe God sent you to come and really free us. another thing which I want to say, in my constituency, I got this meeting because there was a lot of complaints around service delivery, whereby I have invited the province. Now you find that when you are in those meetings with municipality, with the province, they will be telling you that other things are national competence. I will really appreciate, because those meetings continue. We are continuing because we really want to set things straight. We even want, we are doing the walker out, because we have seen that the officials of the department don't do walkabout. People live, like in where I am, Swartrogen, you find that it is a road to go to everywhere. To Rustenburg, you pass in Swartrogen. But there are houses which are, were there since 1995, which are not finished, whereby there is just foundation. People have even just constructed the shack on top of the concrete. I've talked with the human settlement, I have already gone there, but I would really appreciate, I don't know how you will help me, to really give me, because I understand this from what we have said, you cannot be in all the province, in all the municipality at the same time. But even the technical group, you find that they are technical at the office. They are not at the grassroots. You find that at the end of the day, things are happening down there. Nobody is doing. But I would appreciate if I get somebody, either from the technical group or either from the national department, who will come with us when we will invite them. So that they must come and really see what we are talking about. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief. My one, I don't think was answered on the issue of research on the self-delivery project. Chairperson, I want to ask that if there wasn't any proper study done on that, that the department actually consider having such a research done, because I think it will give us a very clear picture about some of the service delivery projects. And then, Chairperson, I want to say to the DG, I think we're very grateful that you're here. I think since 2009, well, I only joined the committee in 2010, there's literally been no one in the committee, and we were. But I want to say to the committee, I had the privilege of serving in social development, and our DG was able to turn around SASA. And whatever we asked him, he really came back. So, DJ, I hope you're going to do the same for Cobda. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes, but we really have confidence in you that you're going to make a difference in this department. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Chair. I just feel like voicing my voice today. I see my colleagues have repeatedly, you know, asking questions. It might not sound well. But let me generalize one point that maybe I will not be calling him correctly, the DG has alluded to, in relation to departments relying mostly on the, you know, the information from the census that is so old to an extent that they are no more considering the population growth that is happening on a daily basis. Of course, we may not dispute the fact that the departments will always rely on the stats that is made available to the government. That we cannot deny. But in reality, when we talk about the service delivery on the ground, it means that something must be looked into. When we talk about the statistics and the census, it is being conducted maybe after 4 or 5 years.
10 years.
So how do you still rely on the all the information while we are having a spotlight that indicates on a daily basis to say there is a population growth on a daily basis? So I'm not questioning it from the personal point of view, but I'm looking it from the government point of view. As a government, definitely, we shouldn't find ourselves separated to the people that we are saying we're going to service them. Once people are doing, once there is that kind of scenario, it means there is the government, there is people, and we can also categorize people and say those are in the rural areas, those are in the urban areas. We categorize those are they can do and that cannot do. You know, we'll make a lot of categorization. Once we talk about this is the government and the people on the other side. Maybe we are interpreting this kind of thing. Of course, yes, it will be from different point of understanding. When we talk about this is the government of the people by the people. So if now we separate this kind of thing, then it will come to this kind of thing. Censuses are being conducted after a long time, and then how can we still rely on that? And there is this kind of, DG has also indicated that, you know, sometimes as a government or as a department, you find out when these seconded officials of the province, and then there were so many things that erupted there, and then they were not accepted by the provinces and what have you. Are we talking in terms of the government policy? The government is decided, the department is agreed, that there is a need of this kind of a structure. But at this time and point, it means that there is, what will I call it, the vacuum to say an individual official could be in the position to oppose what the department or the government as raised, so that to raise the functionality on some certain aspects in the provincial unit. So why do we allow them? Do we not have the legislations and the policies that are dealing with those specific things that we are thinking it will better the functionality of our provinces and departments, and even down to the local government? Do we not have the legislations or laws or even the policies that govern that? If we do, then it should be applicable and not nesting the senses of an individual. That's why we'll keep on talking about a service delivery. You know, the presentation for today, even though I've never come across with another bigger one, but I think this is too summarized to an extent that it's only made maybe for the people that are acquainted with all these kind of things. Technically, you may find that they are just being made to highlight on certain issues and not getting into the details what is happening on the ground. But when coming to the protest that is throughout the whole country now, yes, from the personal point of view, one can argue very strongly to say others are being politically, others are the squabble within the councillors and what have you, and so on and so on. But the people on the ground, let's not misinterpret what is being said by others to say there is a clash between this and this and this. But the people on the ground, they know nowadays that the government is supposed to deliver on 1, 2, 3. That is why the people are saying, no, for how long are we going to wait? Up to this stage, nothing is happening. Now we create this kind of hatred between the leadership and the people on the ground. Now the human element comes into, you know, a very poor people to say, no, you see this man, I don't have anything in my house. I don't even have a house. I don't even have water to drink. You see, this councillor is driving a Mercedes Benz and so on. And so they've mentioned a lot of things. He has just, you know, bought himself a very big house with this and this and this and this. That hatred is human element. That hatred definitely will tap to others. And then they talk about it until they say, no, people are eating enough, the government does not take care of us. Now we have to protest so that they can hear what we are saying. So we shouldn't just take it from the political point of view and say others are jealous to this and this and that. Let's look in the reality on the ground. Why people are they taking arms against their own leadership, if we may ask this question? Why is it like that? The people have voted for this government. So why is it today like that? No, as I said, I'm generalizing. I know it cannot only be a responsibility of this department only. It's a chronic issues throughout the whole department. But let's look into this kind of thing. When we talk about this issue of municipality, the capacity, skills, and so on, which involves also SALGA, and so on and so on. If we can go back to the 2009 reports from those departments that are relevant to service delivery on the ground. 2009 reports from those departments and sections, compared it with what is being outlined to us today, you'll find out it's the same. Sometimes other people, they call it, what is it? Cut and paste. You know, it's something that is just repeatedly to come and tell to the people so that you can understand. We have been in Parliament talking to the portfolio committee. We presented this and this and that. That's all. And what next? Nothing. Thank you, Chairperson. I was just talking like a human being.
I just want to come in with one, and maybe for the DG to tell us. You know, another issue that is raised all the time is this issue of corruption, whether it's perceived corruption or whether it is actual corruption. But the reality thereof is that people are getting hurt on the ground. I think we've just had an incident in Ventersdorp where people have been in hospital and they maintain that, but we sent the department reports. We've given this report. There is an SIU investigation that has been done. There has findings that there are findings that have been made, but nobody is doing anything about it. And those who have been I don't want to go into detail, but the allegations are made that the department has the report. There are SIU reports and nothing is happening. Now, I must say this committee chairperson has been asking the department, since it spoke about the anti-corruption and crime strategy that the department has, give us a report. We know that there's this issue about the role of this unit, how it's going to feed in, and legislation that prevents it from doing certain things. But we hear these things all the time. We see some of these things. We ask the department, and we don't get anything from the department. So I hope that we will get some kind of response from the department on this. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks. I recognize Mary Chitello, but just want to comment on yours, Wendy. Saying that last week, did you were having some questions on the governance cluster in the chamber? I'm saying fortunately, because some of the questions, our minister managed to answer one question, but if there was enough time to go down the question, there was one question that I was preparing for follow-up, which was asked by Honorable from COPE. The question from COPE. Hanare. Question was asked by Honorable Khalnale on Nala Municipality in Free State. Nala Municipality in Free State. I'm fighting this speech so that you'd understand and maybe to get know which direction that you need to go and face. When preparing these questions, I managed to phone straight the province, asking about the outcome of the question. The question was asking about the outcome of the investigation and what happened after the investigation on Nala Municipality. I got the response from the province, but I went to the minister asking the minister how is he going to the approach of the question. So the minister said he hasn't received enough information from with that question, with regards to that question. Just imagine if that question came, in my follow-up question I was having information saying that investigation is complete, there are some disciplinary measures that have been taken with names from the people. I'm just posing that to you and how are we strengthening, because my follow-up was going to be specific. If that question has come, the minister responded to it. He was going to stand up and respond that I haven't received enough news. But I was going to do a follow-up question of saying that Nala Municipality, the investigation is complete. There are certain numbers of people who have been prosecuted. Some of them, they've been disciplined. All that information. I just posing you a challenge just to go and work out with it, saying that some of us seated where we are sitting, it's very difficult to get information from the department. That's why we rather, but we need to, it's NOP who works direct with provinces. But because of the difficulty we are having now, we ended up ourselves establishing working relationship with provinces. That's where we get real information that would give it difficulty at this level to work with you, because most of the time we have real issues on the table. We receive the information and there comes the department doesn't have information.
Thank the DG Coke for him being so open and telling us problems. I've jotted one concerning statement that you made yesterday. They don't have the staff. And I've been asking myself that if they don't have the staff, that means that progress is going to be retarded. So I don't know. I just want to ask, so what's going to be done? Because he answered saying we don't have money. He said that repeatedly. Are we going to wait for the budget, or are we just going to say what's the situation in this budget? Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I continue to be overwhelmed. Perhaps let me start with the last one. Requests have been made to the National Treasury for additional budget, and those requests have been less successful. In fact, as we all know, we live in times of austerity. The economy is not doing well, the fiscal is under severe strain, so we are unlikely to raise additional resources from the fiscal. The medium-term policy statement has already pointed out that our budgets are not going to be increased. So we are looking at alternatives, including approaching social partners who are able to avail resources or even avail people that we can work with to enable us to deliver on critical areas of our mandate. We are not simply waiting for the next budget cycle or even the future. In fact, we know that the next budget cycle will not give us additional resources for compensation of employees. So we're having to look elsewhere, but also to think creatively about how do we reprioritize within what we have in order to spend some of those reprioritized resources in areas that are critical for our ability to deliver on the promises we've made in our APP. I think I'll pause there, Madam Chair. I hope I'm not tempting the committee to perhaps believe that I'm now asking it to come and help me run the department. I would like to continue running the department. But I'm being open with regard to some of the challenges. And if there are ideas, I'll be happy if the committee has some ideas to share. Because those, I'm certain, I will be able to put to good use. But nonetheless, where there are challenges, I'll continue to alert the committee so that I can at least temper with your expectations. Madam Chair, I don't remember. That's fine. I don't remember, Mshabe. Made a number of points, but there's just one I would like to talk to. Honorable Mabunda. This thing about provinces and national departments and local government. Let me say that it's not simply officials that have resisted national officials. In fact, constitutional arguments have been raised because this was predicated on the notion of the provincialization of the national department. We must remember that both the provincial department and the national department have a monitoring function. So already you have some extent of overlap between what we do in relation to municipalities and what provinces must do. But we also have a responsibility to monitor the provinces themselves. And they have not appreciated the fact that we should have a provincial presence because that is their sphere. We should remain at the national level. Whether or not not yet that's been resolved. But often these things depend on how we come at them and how we cajole our colleagues at the provincial level to understand exactly what it is we would like to do. Often punting it as a collaborative effort with the province to better equip ourselves, both at national and provincial level, to monitor the municipalities. But the briefings I've received indicate that that wasn't quite the approach in 2009, 2010. We were quite aggressive in the way we were doing this, and that was met with resistance. I believe even after Minister Baloyi came into office, his charms couldn't help him walk that path very easily. So we're going to have to rethink exactly in what way we can beef up our monitoring capacity and work together with provinces, on the one hand to monitor the provinces themselves, but also to work together with them to monitor municipalities. It's going to take an extra effort on our part, and I'm sure that some fruits will be born out of that in good time. Madam Chair, on the corruption reports, we can provide information. I've seen some parliamentary questions, including the ones oral reply, Madam Chair, the ones you've just referred to. I'm aware of requests that have been made to provinces and municipalities for specific information, which information wasn't available at the time of submitting the draft responses to the minister. You are particularly fortunate, Madam Chair, that you were able to lay your hands on some information. But if I were you, I wouldn't be so confident that the information you received is accurate and official. Because if it's not signed off by the HOD, which is something I would insist on, I wouldn't be sure that the information I've received is accurate. On the issue of research into the service delivery protests, the department has not commissioned research into that. But there are independent research kind of studies being conducted. One of them is conducted by a group called Municipal IQ, is it? There is an extent to which that information is generally relied upon. But it might be a good idea for us to perhaps invest some resources into conducting that research. But that's a politically delicate question. Do you invest resources into responding to the issues that give rise to the service delivery process, meaning service delivery, or do you spend money trying to find out what lies behind? As if you don't see some of the glaring gaps in service delivery. It's a politically delicate question, but certainly from an administration point of view, it would be good for us to know exactly what is it that we are failing to do as government that gives rise to this. And if it so happens that there are other factors other than what we understand to be the case, I'm sure those would come to the fore as well, but they would probably not be for us to deal with as a department, but for political parties, if it so happens that some of the protests are politically motivated. It's something that we would not be able to do much about as a department at an administrative level, because the politics are for political parties and the politicians themselves and not for us. Are we able to give you a commitment that we're going to change the stats as they appear? Honourable Member Gos Mandela. What we perhaps should be able to commit to today mind that these measurements that are used are drawn from the RDP standards, which are quantitative rather than qualitative. It may be that our inquiries are more qualitative, but the measures that we are presenting to you are quantitative. So there is a mismatch. I don't think our systems have matured to a level where we are able to give you qualitative, both the quantitative and the qualitative. And that's the direction we need to move into. But whether then, in order to satisfy your desire for qualitative, we are able to then make a commitment here and now that this is what is going to be, I wouldn't be confident to make that commitment here. Please bear with me on that. Madam Chair, there are some observations I'm making, and I hope the committee will bear with me if I should find that I offend some of them. You know, in statistics, statistics are by their nature scientific. And I'm not saying the statistic of 5.3% are not receiving services at all is accurate. But in order to argue against this, we can't look at what's happening in our constituency and say, oh, because of what's happening in our constituency, it can't be 5.3%. 5.3% of the total households in the population, not 5.3% of your locality. But the sense I'm getting is that members are more concerned about what they see. And they can't read 5.3% to mean 5.3% of the total population. But nonetheless, we need to improve. Honourable Member, Mabunda talked about stats that are updated on a census that is conducted on a 5-yearly basis. But in between the 5 years, there are other studies that are done. The General Household Survey and many others, which enable us to estimate our population growth. And that is done generally. But you don't as yet have your official statistics from your census, but you are able to make your adjustments year in, year out, based on perceived or at least estimated population growth based on your General Household Survey. And this is how this government is working. We have registered the concern by Honorable Ngozi Mandela on the urban bias on methods of service delivery in the areas of sanitation and refuse removal. These are matters we need to take back with us so that they impact on how we plan our work. Madam Chair, may I say that in our next presentation on this matter, we undertake to improve on the quality of our report. Our report must include targets reached the last time we reported to you, so that when we give you a new target, you can measure without having to rely on your own notes, which you might not have with you. And I can't remember Nelson. But we say the last time we were here, this is where we were. Okay. Yes. So, I mean, they are very helpful, I'm sure, if you happen to have those notes. But we must make it easy for the committee. We should say, the last time we were here, this is where we were with our progress. And this is the further progress we've made. And that's what we must undertake to do to the committee. One of the things I've observed in our presentation today is that even on matters of challenges, we have simply said we should do this, we should do this. I mean, an example is as DCOG, we need to beef up our coordination. We need to use MISA. We should prioritize what level improvement plan. Perhaps our presentations shouldn't be aspirational. They should say, what plan is in place? Now that we've identified this challenge, what is the plan? Rather than simply mentioning the fact that we might do something about it. Of course, there may be instances where the planning has not as yet been done, but where plans are in place, we should be able to share that with the committee. Madam Chair, on matters of the CWP in particular, and I hope it is possible, we will in the future provide a detailed breakdown based on provinces. I'm afraid we might not be able to give you a breakdown to your local constituency. I believe it is possible. Then perhaps we should do that. But we hope that members are not only tempted to focus on what's happening in their own constituency. Unlike the NCOP, I expect that this committee is concerned about what's happening to all South Africans, wall to wall, as opposed to the National Council of Provinces, where members are concerned about the provinces they come from. We will definitely have to provide that kind of detailed background. But we might also need to share with members the policy foundations of the CWP. Because I can see that some members equate CWP opportunities with decent work, and that is not the intent. Perhaps we shouldn't take it for granted that the members have in fact been provided with that kind of detailed briefing on what are the policy foundations. We will certainly do that when we next meet. There are many other comments that have been made that I've reacted to already before, Madam Chair, and we can only hope that we will make strides working together with this committee. Mr. Hansby might want to deal with one or two specific questions, which will conclude our comments from our side, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG. Chair, just to reflect on the questions you've raised about the community work program, Mannenberg specifically. Chair, I've been to the community twice. I think immediately after the committee requested us to do so. Apologies for not specifically reporting back, but the matter was still unfolding up to about 3 weeks ago. What has happened is proudly Mannenberg as an organization has been found to be contractually in breach with the lead agent, Teba Development, which is responsible for the three provinces, Western, Northern, and Eastern Cape. That contract has since been suspended. Proudly, Mannenberg has then threatened to take us to the Constitutional Court, where they went. The Constitutional Court rejected their application. They have then, as an organization, decided to voluntarily withdraw from managing that particular site. We were concerned throughout the process of the safety of participants as well as just the continuation of the site in Mannenberg. We have decided, Chair, to continue with the site, but we are trying to deal with the matter in a way that ensures the safety of the participants in that area, because there are underlying conflicts within Mannenberg that we need to manage as well. In the meantime, many of those people have been absorbed into other activities and sites. Because we don't want people to sit without the opportunity as a operational issues. Chairperson, at the same time, there are expectations from other organizations in the area that we can just take them and make them the implementing agent. And unfortunately, there is a procedure that we need to follow in order to appoint local capacity, etc., but we are finalizing those processes as we speak. So that is basically the report. I've been there to site, we've engaged with them, and we are still in touch with the community there. Chairperson, you've also asked in the question about the, and I think more clarity will be provided when we do a full presentation on CWP, but just to indicate the split, and this is a design element of CWP, the split in cost is 65% wages, and 35% goes to program management, banking fees, to tools and materials, and a number of other costs of the program. So there is a split that has been decided upon when they designed the program in presidency. That is how the split should be based on the international models with regards to community work programs like in India, in Colombia, and other places. It doesn't mean, Chair, that we cannot review those things. We are reviewing it on an ongoing basis. Just to indicate to the committee, one of the things we are doing is to reduce the cost, that 35%. Even though that's the standard, we are actively trying to reduce the cost of procurement, of banking fees, and a number of other inputs into the program so that we can take that money and put it into more sites, into more participants, more employment opportunities. So we are actively busy with doing those steps already. We are driving the cost down on a continuous basis using the sheer numbers and economies of scale of CWP to negotiate better prices for wheelbarrows, for spades, and for all of these things. Chairperson, just to make the distinction as well with EPWP incentive scheme, you've raised the issue of do municipalities need to apply. Chairperson, in the case of CWP, they don't apply. The sites are selected based on criteria that have been set in terms of the indicators in that particular area around poverty, unemployment, etc. That particular process is discussed with provinces. The municipalities locally are engaged. We expect the municipalities to take a council resolution that indeed they are prepared to be the host of a CWP site. So, Chairperson, what happens then is that, you know, that information is then developed into a business case for the local, an implementation plan for the local site, and then we implement it. The EPWP incentive scheme for municipalities is where the municipalities have to apply. Many of them do not have the capacity to do that. Department of Public Works, together with ourselves, have been working on ensuring that capacity is now created to assist municipalities to submit those applications. Thank you, Chair.
Just a follow-up, Chair. If you didn't mention the money back, I'd rather get the information from the money back, because they came to us. Now this is the report you are getting from the current it's not going to go to us. We would rather get them the program there. It was just a wire now. We would rather get them the program than the report. No, not now. We don't need the report now. We must get the detailed one so that we can interpret that one.
Chair,
yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Chair,
yeah,
Chair,
yeah,
conclude
departments, we need to invite those departments from human settlement, from water affairs, from rural development. We will sit down as management and check which other departments that we need to invite to our strategic plan on this meeting to conclude our work, and so that we'll be able to come up with next year's program. And also legislation, I think we'll highlight now with 10 minutes on the second item that was on the agenda, only legislation as per the mandate of the policy of the department that they need to implement some other policies. I think you've received a short major on the legislation and the date. We were talking about the National Traditional Affairs Bill with its regulations that are supposed to come before the committee July 2012. Disaster Management Amendment Bill still to come in March 2013, and the Municipal Property Rates with its regulation March 2013. Monitoring Support and Intervention Bill is supposed to come November 2012. So there are some deadlines that have been missed with the legislation. So we feel, I think, we'll discuss when we conclude our work for the year, our strategic session, also on this one. I think the invitation, Sherina, send the invitation early so that the department will be able to come up with the presentation on why some of the deadlines have been missed, like the first one. The first one is so critical because this was the mandate from the State of the Nation Address. I wonder what the President is going to say next year, February, and some of the issues, the directive that has been given has not been implemented. On that note, members, I think this one, oh, we want to come in. I wanted to say on this one, let us not discuss it, we'll check it. You say something?
I'm not opening a discussion, Chair. Just maybe to try and raise a question that can give us guidance in looking at the sector of traditional affairs. The Ingonyama Trust was an act of parliament which enabled the king of the Zulus to be the only trustee that is a beneficiary for that trust. We seemingly don't have any other trust throughout the country that has been passed through parliament for other nations, whether it be Develes, Bedis, or any other for that matter. So can we get guidance from the department as to how do then other nations see themselves benefiting the same as that of the Zulu King? It's an issue of trying to standardize what we pass should apply to all other nations. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. While we're sitting here, I beg your pardon. I'm afraid I'm unable to shine any light on the National Traditional Affairs Bill because the DG of Traditional Affairs is best placed to do that. On the Disaster Management Amendments Bill, we are on track. We will certainly submit the bill to Cabinet in November. And this will only be coming to Parliament in March of next year. And on the Municipal Property Rates Amendment Bill, which was supposed to go to Cabinet in November, I understand that date has been revised to February the cooperative governance and traditional affairs, monitoring support and intervention bill, I've already commented on that earlier on, Madam Chair. But there were specific questions raised by Honourable Winam as to why is it that the bill, which had already been certified by the Chief Legal Advisor, was retracted. I said that there was an opportunity to improve on the quality of the bill based on the experiences of both the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, where Section 101B in particular was instituted. I think in many instances it has generally been Section 101A and not Section 101B. But there are lessons learned, especially in Limpopo. The Department of Basic Education in particular has shared very interesting experiences with regards to tensions between the Public Finance Management Act, what is believed to be the provisions of Section 100, and the Public Service Act. For an example, I think in the national consciousness, once Section 101B is instituted and the Minister of the National Department becomes the executing authority in the province, in the national consciousness, the understanding is that the DG of the National Department also becomes the accounting officer. But that's not necessarily the case in law. If you wish to remove the head of department, you need to approach the Minister of Finance, who will appoint somebody else, usually an administrator, as the accounting officer under the Public Finance Management Act. So there are inconsistencies between what you would expect to be the case and what is in the law. So in writing up this bill, which must now in fact provide guidance on how to practically implement Section 100, 1A and 1B, there is now a need for certain aspects or certain sections of the Public Finance Management Act to be amended in contemplation of this bill coming into effect, guiding on how the takeover of an administration should happen and where the reporting lines are going to be. So because of the experiences that were coming through based on the reports that were coming out of Limpopo, it was decided that the bill be improved upon, which means that it now still has to be resubmitted to Cabinet, for Cabinet to look at those areas that have now been affected by the new consideration of the experiences from the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, and then for the Chief State Law Advisors to also satisfy themselves that all those amendments are in order and are consistent with the Constitution. Once that is done, the bill will then come to Parliament. Whether it is still desirable to bring it this year, Madam Chair, or we should bring it as part of our parliamentary program next year is a matter we need to take a view on. But I personally believe that it might be a good idea to look at introducing it into Parliament next year and allowing ourselves the time to clean it up. Thank you, Madam Chair.
As I've highlighted, DG, that now we are concluding our work. We're wrapping up our work now. Everything will be directed by us. Strategic session on what we left over so that we'll pick up for next time. I think we are done with these two items for today. Thanks, DG. Thanks for the interactions that committee and contributions that committee members have contributed to today's discussion. Members, I'm hoping that you've received this invitation. We are concluding, DJ. That's why you are not happy. about it last week, since some members have asked me to check because the date has been changed, and I asked the office, Ebulelwa, that he must contact Sharon so that members could be informed that they must bring their traditional wear. But I've only received the message today whereby we'll be dressed Western while we are having our traditional attires at home. Invited to this opening of the house on Thursday, 1 November 2012. Guests to be seated at 10:30, 9:30. The function starting at 10:30. The president will address the session. And there's a form whereby members are requested to fill in so that it should be taken back. That's the disadvantage of having a dysfunctional office, because I've asked last week already so that members would be able to come up with necessary attire. This is a very important event whereby we will be judged by our traditional wear. So we are forced to wear our costumes as if we are launching a Western traditional house of traditional leaders thing. So members, this is the invitation. Could you please fill in and submit it to Sharon? This is for Thursday. There is no way that you can go back home and have your traditional has been arranged. I don't know about that one, but venue is older than with your own parties. I don't know what I'm going to, because he's raising Thursday parties caucus time, but here's an invitation for the committee. Yeah. The meeting is adjourned.